Blog Talk Radio.
Like to the bottom of the ocean. Just, have you seen that guy, Ginger? Who
no,
sings
I'm
this?
Not.
I'm scared to see him because his face might not match his voice, and it would be upsetting.
That would be very upsetting.
Because he sings like he is just delicious. Good morning.
and now you've got to make me go Google this.
Yeah, you looked that up. Why you?
Ooh, well, that's great, right?
You know what? I did not put their name in. Usually put the name in the switchboard, but I did not.
Pretty sure it's Get Out Alive, 3 Days Grace.
Get Out Alive.
Yeah, 3 Days Grace.
You know what? There is so much juicy news today. I don't even know where to start. We got juicy
oh,
news.
Oh, he is too.
Is he cute? Girl, link that. Let me see that.
In Skype, here we go.
And share with our lady friends out there in the Twitterverse, in case they want to see. He better be cute. Let me see.
He's
oh, hey there. He's all right.
He's all right.
I could look at him for a little while. Oh, there's one picture I really like of him, black and white, with the guitar. I love a man that plays the guitar. Oh, God, look at him in the coat. Okay, he's hot. Okay. Hey there, boy.
Thank you, lady listeners out there. That guy, I don't know what his name is. I guess I could have found out, but I'm a little bit lazy.
His name is Adam Gontier? Gontier. Yeah, Gontier. Adam. He looks like his name is Adam.
You just making up names?
That's what it says on each picture, Adam Gontier.
Hey, I didn't look.
Lead singer from 3 Days Grace. Girl.
Don't see. Yeah.
He's kind of cute. You know what? He's all of our types. This is one all three of us like.
I pulled up his Wikipedia.
Yeah, all of, he's
all
one
that picture on his Wikipedia is not very cute.
No, he's one of those types that all three of us like. We all three have one type that we like, and then we kind of veer off from there, so. But yeah, he's one that we all three would like. We'd all sit on your lap. Of course, he's kind of tiny, so we wouldn't be able to get much lap. You're going to need to eat some sandwiches, Adam.
Aww.
Just three, though, not five. Just three.
Three?
Just three sandwiches. Okay, we need to get off this subject because my mind.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally sitting here looking at his media.
I will jump in if you want to look a little longer.
And I can do it if you want to.
Go ahead, little girl. I got some interesting news. Okay, so Google Plus is being really ambitious.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they are out at the photographers' conference, I guess, yesterday or today. And they're saying that they are succeeding in small bursts, feature by feature. And as a social network, they're competing with Facebook, the IPO, and its flop, which we all have been watching the last few days. But they said its video chat tool Hangouts is a winner, which we've told you here. If you are, instead of using Ventrilo, if you uninstall and I'm sorry, people at Ventrilo, I don't mean to step on your toes. I think you did an amazing thing, but I think your time has come and gone. You get your Google Plus Hangout, and you don't use up too much extra resources on your computer, and instead of lagging at that crucial moment, you might actually kill the monster, whatever it is you're attacking, the person. But they're saying now Google Plus is after photo sharing, and they're saying that is going to be... Yeah, they're saying they want to be your next Flickr. They have a new photo-centric iPhone app, and uniquely, it also has Google's passion for metadata.
Hello, where's my app for my Android?
You know they'll get there because they own Android. They'll get there. But, you know, they're trying to keep their finger in the Apple App Store pie. You know how they roll. Because that's also somebody they contend with. But in fact, they're saying Google is pushing so hard on the photography front that it is in a great position to dominate the now floundering Flickr. Yeah. Google Plus teamed up with Kelby Training for a two-day Google Plus Photographers Conference in San Francisco, and it was called the HIRL, Hangout in Real Life. I like it. Vice President of Products for Google Plus, Bradley Horowitz, led Yahoo's purchase of Flickr in 2005, kicked off the event Tuesday talking about the future of photography and how Flickr changed his outlook. Now, he says whether ads will ever make an appearance, and also whether ads will ever make an appearance in Google Plus. I don't think I'd mind one or two inconspicuous ads. Right now, it looks a little bare. The ads actually fill out things, oddly enough. People hate them, but they actually make the site look good, even ours. They're saying they're also looking at making a camera that records your blood pressure.
A camera that records your blood pressure. How does that work?
Well, hang on. Let me get some more information. Well, you know, they didn't say anything about it. They just talk about their other tools.
Dude, you tell us that. You need to give us more information. That is kind of cool.
Well, you know what? They may be speaking figuratively. They're saying for the past 4 years, he's pushed his passion for social computing at Google, combining photos, algorithms, human interaction. He says, and while some of us may see the rising flood of images and data from camera settings to GPS location as overwhelming, he sees it as an opportunity. He says he thinks the future lies in capturing even more data, sharing more information, having more sensors, and recording more dimensions. He says, for example, we generate so much information that going through it to find gems is becoming more and more difficult. He says, ironically, even more data can be used to bring order to overload. They also have a new tool called Google Glass, which could be a great start for capturing all of this information. But, of course, there's a few kinks that they need to work out first. VentureBeat is reporting that Google says they want you to think of ads as little presents. So the absence of ads in Google Plus's Lightbox, the tool that shows your images, is part of where of what appeals to so many photographers who use the service. I do like it. I think I'm going to post up some of my Second Life photography there on Google Plus, actually, on my profile. He says, but certainly it's only a beta perk. He says, after all, a whopping 96% of Google's revenue comes from advertising. He said, but Google's philosophy when it comes to ads is that they can be a very useful part of the user experience, as they are in search results. However, it doesn't want to serve them where or when they don't belong and won't be most effective. He says, we don't think of ads as punishments that users must endure. We think of ads done well as something that users would cry over if we took them away. The company has not yet found a way to make ads useful in the Lightbox, and I hope you don't put them there. I don't really want any ads in my Lightbox. And I should, you know what, give me the ability to say I want them there or not, and give me a dollar. Give me a dollar or some change for showing them there if I want to. He says, if a Google Plus user is looking at family photos of their family, the last thing you want to do is stick an ad between that intimate moment and intimate interaction. Facebook. I thought you were trying to do this. Okay.
No, and I've totally been uploading some of my pictures from, because, of course, y'all know we do Pixanista every Tuesday. If you've not been stopping by, you should. Mm-hmm. But some of my pictures that I took some from Aeon, and I took some from Second Life, and I posted them up on my Google Plus page.
Horace just said, we will have data order. You know, I heard, you've seen Titanic. We will have order. We will have data order here. I like it, Horace. That was funny. Ginger didn't get the joke. I got it.
No, I didn't get it. I must have missed that one.
You didn't see it in Titanic when he was when they were putting people in the lifeboats and everybody was rushing the lifeboats, and one of the little, I don't know what he was, captain or whatever, assistant captain, he fires a gun and he holds his gun out to everybody, you know, like he's going to shoot him, and it's, I will have order here. It was funny. I'm sorry. Anyway.
That's awesome. No, I don't remember that. That was years ago. I think that was actually one of my first, oh my God, I'm going to date myself here. That was one of my first movie dates.
Aww. I'm glad that wasn't my first movie date, because I cried. My date would have been like, oh my God, she is way too sensitive.
Or like, oh my God, my butt is going numb. Sounds bad.
Yeah.
I'm gonna... Three hours for movie people.
Yeah, you saw the extended cut.
Yeah, because, I mean, there was actually the whole little, they break in the middle, and then you come back. Oh, I was so tired. I was so tired. I was like, wow. Yeah. All right, so it's my go. Let me hit paste really quick. I was, girl, yeah. All right, so Microsoft offering refunds for Minecraft 3. Who couldn't play split-screen co-op? Earlier this month, we reported that some consumers who purchased Minecraft on Xbox Live wanted a refund because they couldn't play the game in split-screen co-op. The problem related to the game requiring a high-definition television set to play the game that way, a fact that they did not disclose to consumers in any of the game's information or on the product page. Because of this fact, consumers felt misled and were demanding a refund. Well, it has been almost 2 weeks since we published that story. By the way, this came from GamePolitics.com. And Microsoft has finally done something about it. And a statement to Game Informer, a Microsoft representative said that they are now offering a full refund to anyone that encountered the issue, and that the product information now reflects that the fact that you need an HDTV in order to play split-screen co-op.
Mm-hmm.
A Microsoft spokesperson says, we updated our pre-sale notification to inform customers that an HD screen is required for the split-screen multiplayer feature on Minecraft Xbox 360 Edition. If the player does not have an HD screen and purchased this game prior to the notification update, they are eligible for a full refund through customer support. Yay, so I'm glad that they're doing this. And again, as we've told you before, if you are thinking about this, even if you do have an HD screen, it's really not getting that great of reviews. So,
and we did say it, and we weren't trying to be mean.
Yeah.
Not like we care, because, you know, sometimes we'll be mean.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll be mean, but the point is, this wasn't a mean thing. This was simply, I couldn't see it working in any capacity.
No, if it worked like the PC version, it would have been great, but it doesn't, so.
It doesn't. All right. Ginger, have you posted up the news about Arcane Legends yet?
I do not believe so, no.
Well, I got to do it. Because they asked us to. Wait a minute. You know what's not a good idea was to let her know right when I was telling you about it, because I started typing what I was saying.
See?
Well, I'm so excited because this is one of those iPhone games that's actually good.
Mm-hmm.
So it is fantastic. It's Arcane Legends. They made, remember Pocket Legends?
Yes.
Yeah, they're the same people that made it. And, well, it's not actually out yet. However,
I think I have Pocket Legends on my phone.
Yeah, I know you do, because you were trying to get me to play with you, but I was like, I couldn't just send. What happened to my story? How did it just disappear like that? That is so messed up. Don't you hate when
I do. I hate it when that happens.
Well, I'm trying to put, you know what? That is not cute. Mailbox. Gamenatrix mailbox. I'd cut you, but I need you. Okay, I got to get it. I would cut you. Okay, so Arcane Legends that you heard Ginger go on about, Pocket Legends. This is the newest addition to Spacetime Studios, their mobile library. This is a new action RPG that will be available for iOS, Android, and Chrome in early fall. Players out there, hopefully us too, will be choosing from three classes: powerful warriors, devious rogues, or mysterious sorcerers. It's a toss-up for me. I don't know. I love all those classes. Each will have their own set of abilities. Party members will be able to combine their abilities to unlock explosive combos for devastating effects. As players level, they choose to specialize in certain skills, allowing them to further customize characters to suit their playstyle. Did we mention this was an MMO? Yes. On your iOS, Android, and Chrome. And not a click one where click here and in an hour you run out of energy.
No, this is awesome. I mean, because if I remember right, this is actually, at least my version, is made for my
Xperia Play,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. Because now the core of Arcane Legends is the groundbreaking combat system that will deliver the most fast-paced action-oriented co-op and player-versus-player gameplay of any Legends title. Players will decide whether to use multiple quick attacks or take the time to charge up and land more destructive strikes. The previous Legends titles are, of course, Pocket Legends, and they also have a sci-fi one called Star Legends and a horror one called Dark Legends. And they've been downloaded to date more than 8 million times, making it the world's most downloaded mobile MMO series in history.
Wow, that's nuts.
Again, this is made by Spacetime Studios. And why am I making such a big deal about this? Because this is how they made me, Houston, Texas, baby. And they're from Austin.
Yay!
Yay!
More Texas gamers. Man, how many Texas gamers I meet all the time?
We are set to rule the world. We're already a big state. We got plenty of space.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we do.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. I just stopped talking in my mouth. That was funny.
But in just a moment, I will be sharing with you the screenshot they sent over, or shots, as it were. Well, it's just one, but it looks so awesome. I'm excited.
Yes, yes.
I like when my people do stuff.
All right. I know I'm out of it. Did you read about the whole Facebook IPO?
I have been watching it. I've been trying not to read anything. I know people are griping because they lost their money. We did tell you.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a story on in the Yahoo News section today. Facebook banks sued over pre-IPO analyst calls.
Yes, insider trading, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Facebook Incorporated and banks including Morgan Stanley were sued by the social networking leader's shareholders who claimed the defendants hid Facebook's weakened growth forecast ahead of its $16 billion initial
mm-hmm.
public offering.
Mm-hmm.
The defendants, who also include Facebook Chief Executive Officer Mark Zuckerberg, were accused of concealing from investors during the IPO marketing process a severe and pronounced reduction in revenue growth forecast resulting from increased use of its app or website through mobile devices. Went public last week. People, by the way, y'all bought into this? I did not. Some of y'all were like, I'm not going to buy into it because, you know, they support SOPA and PIPA. I was saying, I'm not going to buy into this because this is going to fail. It's going to fail. It's going to fail hard.
And I didn't. He waited too long, is what I'm saying. You really, if you were going to do this, you should have done this. The first time Facebook, you know, when you, what was it, when they were making the big deal about hitting a million followers? That's when you should have went public, right then.
Should have, and you didn't. You waited too long, and now Facebook is already over the hill. It's declining. People are moving off to Google Plus and to other sources now. So, yeah.
What is with Zuckerberg? He has this cute little baby face, but he seems like he's just always up to something. What is that?
Well, you know, he is always up to something. I mean, hell, if you think about how Facebook was started, he's always up to something. All right, so the lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in Manhattan on Wednesday, according to a law firm for the plaintiff. A day earlier, a similar lawsuit by a different investor was filed in a California state court, according to a law firm involved in that case. In the New York case, shareholders said research analysis at several underwriters had lowered their business forecasts for Facebook during the IPO process, but that these changes were selectively disclosed by defendants to certain preferred investors rather than to the public generally. The value of Facebook common stock has declined substantially, and plaintiffs and the class have sustained damages as a result. Representatives of Facebook and Morgan Stanley did not immediately respond to requests for comments. Facebook shares fell 18.4% from their $38 IPO price in the first 3 days of trading, reducing the value of stock sold in the IPO by more than $2.9 billion.
I'm sorry, y'all, who bought this. I was listening to one of the local stations, 94.5 The Buzz, this morning, not to be throwing them any love or anything. Well, I can't say that. Their guys are nice to us every now and again. But
yeah.
They had bought one share, and they were talking about, what were they going to do with it if it went up. And I'm like, it's not going up. It's not now. If it was going to go up, it would have been super, super high that day, I think. But now?
I don't know. It's horrible. And I don't know. I can't help but feel that, you know, he's kind of doing this now as a last-ditch effort to get the last bit of money out of Facebook before it just completely collapses.
Sorry. Mark, you should have done something. Well, at least he's married a doctor. Okay. And that's all any mother can ask for her child, marry a doctor.
Yeah, but he did get kicked out of...
Is it Harvard?
Harvard, yeah.
Well, hopefully he can go back.
I feel like LePou, I'm all not quite connected. My brain's all wee.
Both of us are. We're a little scatterbrained this morning. Okay, so Diablo 3, I love how they put this because they couldn't actually say of all time, but they tried to spin it nicely. Diablo 3 is now the fastest-selling PC game. They actually put it in of all time. No, it is not. With more than three. I'm sorry, you know what? They may be the fastest-selling, but not the highest-selling. The Sims still holds that honor. They have... the fastest-selling PC game of all time with more than 3.5 million copies during its first day on sale last week, and 6.3 million copies have been sold so far in total. But aren't some people getting refunds? Does it still count when they give a refund? Wonder. Of course, the company has had its grip on this record for several years now. According to Gamma Sutra, Blizzard's World of Warcraft Cataclysm was the last fastest selling PC game when it pushed 3.3 million copies within 24 hours after debuting in 2010. After that, WoW Wrath of the Lich King held the record with 2.8 million copies sold in 2008. Blizzard notes that Diablo 3's first day 3.5 million sales does not include the 1.2 million consumers who also received a copy of the game after signing up for World of Warcraft Annual Pass, one of which is our crazy-ass blaster who we told not to do it. He said, nor does that include the number, not he, but they said, nor does that number include players in the Korean internet game rooms where Blizzard claims Diablo 3 is currently the top-played game. I don't know, can you really count that since they're actually just kind of going in and they pay a subscription fee or... Maybe they didn't really buy the box. I don't really know. Of course, after Diablo 3's first week of availability in numerous regions, namely the U.S., Canada, Europe, South Korea, Australia, South Asia, and others, over 6.3 million consumers have purchased a copy of the game. Ginger, you are muted, by the way. One analyst previously predicted the game would sell 5 million during its first year on sale. Despite its early sales success, the game's launch was marred by errors and problems in its servers that prevented consumers from playing even in single player. Blizzard CEO Mike Morhaime apologized, saying that we regret that our preparations were not enough to ensure everyone had a seamless experience. Of course, since Diablo's debut in 1996, the franchise sold more than 26 million units, including expansion packs. The series has appeared on consoles only once with the original game on PlayStation, which I did like, except for the bouncing boobs thing. But Blizzard has implied...
You didn't like the bouncing boobs?
But Blizzard has implied to Gamma Sutra that a console version of Diablo 3 is under consideration. You all don't do it. Don't do it.
Corey's going to cut me.
I'm hoping they don't do it. It's going to be bad.
It is going to be bad. Oh, right. Speaking of bad, Father of the Internet calls out U.S. government on CISPA.
That's right.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Legendary computer scientist and the man known as the Father of the Internet, Vint Cerf, said during the Freedom to Connect conference in Washington on Monday that the International Telecommunications Union will become a global Internet cop by using a number of new tools being crafted by lawmakers. Cerf said that the ITU could push mandatory intellectual property laws as a way to strengthen web surveillance. The ITU is a United Nations agency that coordinates the shared global use of satellites, radio signals, broadband internet, and wireless technologies. Cerf, who is an internet evangelist, a vice president at Google, had some particularly harsh words for the Cybersecurity and Intelligence Protection Act, which is CISPA, by the way, saying it wasn't specific enough on how shared information between government and corporations would be used. He also called hacktivist groups like Anonymous counterproductive. True story! All right, so Cerf also said during the conference that governments around the world are using cybersecurity and other fears like piracy and counterfeit goods to hide efforts to crack down on political speech. He added that tech advocates that emphasize the role of the internet in uprising like the Arab Spring have scared regimes around the world. Finally, Cerf noted that there seems to be a contradiction in U.S. efforts to promote internet freedom overseas, while at the same time pushing for laws at home that take away freedoms in the name of fighting cyber threats and online piracy. Oddly enough, Cerf did not talk about Google's silence on these new cybersecurity bills.
Ginger, are you scared?
All right, Google. Yeah, Google, I'm going to have to ask you to just go ahead and take over the world, please. I want to live in a Google town with, you know, my little Google car that, you know, I just get into. It's parked there on the side of the road, and I tell it where I want to go, and it drives on its own. Yes, Google, I want to work for you. I want to live there. You should hire both me and the Corey, and we will be awesome for you.
Yes.
Yes. We can give you great ideas. And also, we have epic fluffy cakes. Well, I have fluffy cakes, and she's got the nice butt.
The fluffy biscuits.
The fluffy biscuits. She's got the fluffy biscuits. I got the fluffy cakes.
Oh, my. I need to tweet what I'm going to tweet before I say anything else. Yeah.
What's going on, Ms. Corey?
Well, there is a science alert you all need to be paying very close attention to that I'm about to tell you. And the reason why is bad things may come of this. This is how they're going to create the zombies. See, I told you it was coming. This is not so much gaming, but science. Again, we all know this is how the zombies get created when they do some things in science. So apparently researchers have found a way of not only storing data in DNA, but being able to write it and read it. They had only done it once before, and they were able to write it, and it was read-only. Now they're able to write and rewrite data. Again, I stress, into DNA.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. They've only done one bit.
They're kind of like all carved up, and they're going to be like secret spy agents.
Mm-hmm. They've only been able to do one bit at a time, but they're saying that's an essential component of computation and an important step forward in the potential creation of a biological computer. And we all know that that is not the only thing they're going to do with it. Jerome Bonnet, who's one of the scientists behind the innovation, said in a statement to Science News that now we can bring logic and computation inside a cell itself. Dude, do you not know you are bringing about the end of creation? Do you not know? In early tests, scientists essentially created a traffic light out of an S. What is it? Let me try to get this word out. Escherichia coli bacterium. Coli, one of the bad bacteriums. I'm just saying. The goal is to flip a sequence of its DNA back and forth, a way of storing information comparable to storing a zero or a one in a conventional computing bit of data. They choose a segment of the bacterium's DNA that impacts a color so they could visually determine the experimentation's success or failure. Then by flipping a small sequence of its DNA, they cause the bacterium's cell to fluoresce in green. Switching it back and forth, they caused it to shine red, visual proof that they were both rewriting DNA and storing the information. You know, you can pop over Science News to read the rest of it, sciencenews.org to check it out. But be aware, you need to start storing up your canned goods and get your chainsaws all gassed up because you know what's coming next. They're saying it's going to be for a computer, but you know the government's going to get a hold of this, and the first thing they're going to want to make, biological weapon, and it's going to go wrong.
Yes. Very wrong. How we keep getting all these avian flus.
Mm-hmm. Error 37.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that, ma'am? That's the newest one. Arrow to the knee is out. Error 37 is in.
Yeah, error 37. Yep. All right. So... I am going to die over here. My poor.
Don't die.
All right. So EA shut down Dragon Age Legends. This is short, so I'm going to grab some more after this.
Oh,
Electronic Arts announced today that it will close its Dragon Age social game, Dragon Age Legends, in June. The free-to-play web-based RPG was launched in March of 2011, slightly before the release of Dragon Age 2. The game was available on Google Plus and Facebook. EA did not say why it was shutting the game down, but it falls in line with the practice of terminating online games it feels are long in the tooth or unpopular. On the Plus side, EA plans to release a downloadable single-player-only version of the game at some point for those who want to continue playing it or who have not played it yet.
When
they release a standalone version of the game, they say they will let us know. And when they do, we will let you know.
We'll be playing because I love me some Legends.
Yes. All right, so what have we got? We've got all... Oh, no. Uh-oh. Well, we talked about this yesterday. Day before, so it's not exactly good news... Or new news. It's not exactly new news. It's definitely not good news. Rhode Island governor claims 38 Studios let some staff go. 38 Studios has let some of its staff go, according to Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chaffee. Though how many people we do not know at this point. Chaffee made his comments to the media after a lengthy meeting with Rhode Island Economic Development Committee and 38 Studios founder Kurt Schilling. After the meeting, Schilling had no comment for the press, save that his company would not be looking to Rhode Island taxpayers for help. Being a politician, Chaffee was more than happy to talk to the press. He described 38 Studios' situation as a mix of who's made payroll and a number of layoffs. You may recall that on Friday, the governor leaked the release date for the company's MMO game project Cornificus? Anyways, he is probably not the best guy to discuss secrets with. I know that the taxpayers want answers, and they'll get them over time, he adds. All I can promise is that we're working hard to protect every penny of the investment that was made. The investment he is referring to is the $75 million deal the studio signed with the state in 2010 to get them to move to Providence from Massachusetts.
So sorry to the people who were let go.
Well, we do still have a job board if you want to go check it out.
We do. Come check it out. We got jobs up.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you want to move down to Texas, they are looking for a game programmer at Multimedia Games. How do we know this? Because I'm looking at our job boards. You can too. You can find our featured job and the gateway to our jobs board on the front of GameAndAtrix.com. Excuse me, incidentally. Oh, Andrew, did you leave me again? Oh, there she goes.
No, I'm still here. No, you skipped there for a second, but no, I'm still here.
Oh, Jesus. Please no. Please no, Comcast. Incidentally, also, somebody kept asking, where do I pay for an ad? Well, that's easy. The big old text on the left that says open. Click it. Sign up for an ad. It's easy. Okay. And I'm trying to do too many things at once. Ugh, y'all know how I roll. And I don't have the mental capacity to do it today. Shut up, Horace. Okay, so, because I know he's going to say something. Apparently, Bungie has gotten into a relationship with Activision. Did you hear this?
Oh, no, I haven't. What are they making? What are they making?
Babies. Gaming babies.
Activision. Of course, they're not going to be making any more of my Halo, but that's okay. That's okay. They can make some other really awesome games.
Okay. Well,
I got a little bit excited there for a second.
I know. I'm sorry, and so did I, because my mind went all through some other things. Anyway, so Activision's four-game contract with Bungie has been officially revealed as part of the ongoing court case between Activision and the co-founders of developer Infinity Ward. The contract was posted on the LA Times website, and it reveals details of the products Activision expects from Bungie over a 10-year term contract. Really? Woof, that's a long relationship. We can't go Kim Kardashian here. We can't 72 days and be like, we're done. The lucrative agreement could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars to Bungie, depending on the level of sales achieved. Bungie is listed as developing a series of products under the title Destiny, or Destiny Property, also referred to as Tiger. These are planned to be massively multiplayer-style, also i.e. client-based mission structures with persistent elements, sci-fi action shooter games, according to the contract language. Also, major downloadable content expansion packages are required for each of the four games, codenamed Comet, along with smaller interstitial DLC. The first game, Destiny Number 1 in the series, is planned for the fall of next year, with subsequent games Destiny 2 and 3 and 4 being released at two-year intervals, and the major expansion packs Comet 1 in the even-numbered years. The platform strategy is to begin with the Xbox 360 or a successor labeled Xbox 720 in the contract. Ooh, I wonder if that nullifies the contract if it's not named 720. Will they be amending the contract? Interesting. With ports for, see, there's a fight going to happen right there. There's a potential fight.
Yes, exactly.
With ports for the PlayStation 3, if it can be done with quality and feature parity, versions of the PS4 and the PC are also planned if Activision and Bungie agree on the technical and business case for those platforms. Interestingly, while the contract allows Activision to develop their own conversions of the software via their own internal studios or through outside developers, Bungie does have the right of approval over Activision's choice with the following clause, which it says, it being expressly understood and agreed by the parties that A, only a AAA caliber developer that is not a competitive risk to licensor Bungie is reasonable for licensor to approve, and B, licensor hereby expressly disapproves of Valve, Epic, and Gearbox as potential third parties for conversions. They had to name names. Oh, this is going to be good, this fight. Also of interest are provisions regarding key members of the development team who are required to sign long-term agreements with Bungie. Those key members are required to work exclusively on the Destiny project, and if more than 33% of them leave during the term of the agreement, then Bungie is in a state of critical risk and must deliver a mitigation plan to Activision. Activision also gets to approve the hiring of key member replacements. The contract provides yearly payments of, get this, $2.5 million. As long as Bungie remains on schedule, and a bonus of $2.5 million should Destiny game reach number one or better, reach number one or 90% or better score on GameRankings.com. What if GameRankings.com goes under? I'm just curious.
That's a very good question.
This is something we'll probably talk about tomorrow night. This is going to go horribly awry. You cannot expect for developers to stay on schedule in some cases. Some things may just not work out. What if this new Xbox 720 isn't out until, like, right before you're ready to release your game and you start trying to port it and screw up the code and you're off schedule and then, bam, these people don't get their money and people start leaving? This is a potential for disaster.
It is. It really is.
Good luck.
All right. Speaking of disaster, Star Wars The Old Republic. BioWare lays off some staff at Star Wars The Old Republic studio in Austin, which we hate to hear. BioWare has laid off an unknown number of the Star Wars The Old Republic team today as part of a restructuring plan. BioWare's first MMO launched 5 months ago to critical acclaim, but it didn't generate the kind of subscriber numbers that both EA and BioWare had hoped for. Recently, it was revealed that the number of subscribers have dipped from 1.7 million paid members in February to 1.3 million. In a joint statement on the SWTOR community site, BioWare founders Ray Mazuka and Greg Zeschuk expressed their regrets in having to lay some of the staff off. Hey folks, since you're reading this, you may likely have heard that we've done some restructuring here on the SWTOR team.
No.
Sadly, we are bidding farewell to some talented, passionate, and exceptionally hardworking people who helped make SWTOR a reality. Impacting people's lives this way is always very hard, but we are ensuring that that affected people are treated with dignity, fairness, and respect. Looking back at launch, we all came together and did something historic. We executed one of the largest, most successful, and stable launches of any MMO yet in industry history. That is not an easy feat for any development team or company, and we are humbled and honored by our fan community's strong support both at launch and beyond. Looking forward, the studio remains vibrant and passionate about our many upcoming upcoming initiatives for Star Wars The Old Republic. We still have a very substantial development team working on supporting and growing the game, and we feel we are in a strong position with your continued involvement and feedback to continue to build Star Wars The Old Republic as one of the most compelling and successful online experiences in the world today. There are many strong initiatives planned for cool new content and new features that we are excited to tell you about in the upcoming weeks and months. Rest assured that we remain dedicated to delivering a high-quality service in SWTOR to you, our fans, and we will continue to support and grow Star Wars The Old Republic over the weeks, months, and years to come. And they say thanks, Greg and Ray. All right, so the layoff will only affect BioWare's Austin, Texas studio, which is dedicated to the continued operation and development of the game.
Aww.
Yeah, we hate to hear that, but it is Austin, so there are job openings down there in different areas, especially gaming and whatnot, so hey, that's awesome. And, you know, like we said, we've got a job forms up, go check it out.
That's right. Oh, I just choked in, and I almost posted something I shouldn't have, and to tell you what I almost posted, Ginger, go and check your mail. Wow.
This open, at least try to.
Okay, but in the meantime, let me tell you about Gamefly. This is a brand new hot and delicious story. It's smoking still. Blow it off before I tell you about it. So apparently Gamefly, known for its rental service here in the U.S., is expanding its business to include mobile publishing. Yes, according to GameIndustry.biz, the company just announced that it will begin publishing mobile games for iOS and Android, and it also intends to launch its own independent Gamefly game store for Android later this fall. Gamefly has already set aside a game development fund to work with mobile developers that are in the process of making a great game but need the extra resources to publish and promote their titles. Furthermore, the company aims to be a resource for gamers, curating Android games in the Gamefly game store with thousands of games and daily deals. The goal is to provide a social network for gamers and ultimately to make game discovery of good mobile titles easier.
Mail me something?
I did, to your GameNation email. Mr. Sean Spector, who is Gamefly co-founder and SVP of Business Development and Content, says that Gamefly is dedicated to giving consumers the best user experience possible and to be their single destination for console, PC, and mobile gaming needs. He says, we plan to be a leading player in mobile games by launching our retail game store for Android and helping us to fund more mobile developers of all sizes to publish, promote, and sell their smartphone and tablet games. Gamefly expects to publish its first mobile title this summer. The company is now accepting submissions from you mobile game developers out there. You can send that over to gamedev@gamefly.com for those of you who are interested. I don't know how this is going to work.
I don't either.
And you know what's funny is about a month ago, they were the same ones saying that publishers don't want more digital stores. I don't know if they were being a smarty mouth because I don't remember what the story was about, but yeah.
All right. So I go, sorry, I was refreshing my email over here trying to see what you sent me. Oh, no, wait. Stop. Good. Not you. Facebook started making noises on me. I don't like that.
Stop. No, please.
Yeah. No. bad. All right. Oh. GamePolitics.com. No, still haven't gotten it. Judge recommends import ban on Xbox 360. Microsoft and Motorola have been at each other's throats for a while now. Motorola claims that the Xbox 360 uses Motorola-developed technology that allows set-top boxes to decode transmissions between its Droid 2 and Droid X mobile devices, while Microsoft argues that Motorola refused to abide by requirements set by the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers Standards Association to set reasonable license fees of essential technology. Last April, International Trade Commission, ITC, Judge David Shaw ruled that Microsoft's Xbox 360 console infringed on 4 of Motorola's patents. Today, Judge Shaw has recommended that the ITC ban the import of the 4GB and 250GB Xbox 360S consoles and prevent further sales with a cease and desist order. Further, Microsoft should post a bond equal to 7% of the value of unsold Xbox 360 inventory already in the country. Motorola wanted the bond to be 100%, but Microsoft pointed out that Motorola had done nothing to show that anyone had bought an Xbox 360 in lieu of a Droid device or set-top converters, and argued for a bond equal to what it saw as a reasonable license fee for the technology, 2.5%. Microsoft argued that Judge Shaw's order did not serve the public interest because it would leave consumers with only 2 console options, Sony's and Nintendo's. Shaw slapped down that argument, saying that enforcing intellectual property rights outweighed the economic impact on game console buyers, and there was no evidence that Microsoft's competitors wouldn't be able to handle the demand. Ouch. All right, so Judge Shaw's recommendation will now go to the ITC commissioners for consideration. If the order becomes final, President Barack Obama will have 60 days to review the decision. After that, ITC orders can only be appealed to the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. Well, I'm so glad that President Barack Obama gets to have the time to sign deals on video game consoles. That just seems like something that should really, really be crossing his desk, you know?
Forefront of the country.
Exactly, exactly.
Must have done.
Yes.
See
if this came up yet.
Do-do-do-do-do.
I like to say, squirrel mail, you suck.
It does.
Nothing there yet.
I was waiting to see if you got it, but apparently you're not yet.
No. I'll go check my junk mail.
And make sure it didn't bounce. Nope, it did not bounce. Ginger, you better check your mail.
I did. It's not here.
Hey, man, did I send it to the right email? Somebody will be real happy. Somebody will be extremely happy.
Oh, you did not send what I think you sent to somebody wrong.
What?
Oh, you did not send my code to somebody. Yay!
You got it?
Yes.
Okay. I like to make Ginger squeal on the air.
Yay! And I can't talk about this, can I?
You know, wait a minute. I don't think we are under any type of gag order, so we don't want to talk about it because... Okay, well, we can tell them. On this weekend, make sure you are watching our Twitter feed. Even if you're out and about, you can hear us do one of our live reviews because we'll be in the preview of Guns of Icarus.
Mm-hmm.
So, big fun. And my brain is totally scattered.
Okay, it's totally awesome.
So I have started a whole thing.
Steampunk, it's awesome.
Look, I have started a whole thing on when I mentioned the Kim Kardashian in reference to Activision and Bungie. And Horace said back to me, Bungie and Activision equals 72 days equals it's over lawsuit. And then I says, and then Activision will be crying saying that, you know, I just couldn't stand the relationship. And he says, and later in the tabloids, I think Activision is gay. Ooh. You know, the sad thing is, it's probably true. Not that Activision is gay, but that this is going to go bad. This whole relationship between the two.
Go very bad.
I'd be scared. Because I like Bungie. I don't have any more friends at Bungie, I don't think. If I do, well, I got a place on my couch, you could say.
Yes, 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 yes. You can come. You can come, because if you go to her house, then I'm going to come visit.
Even more reason for you to come.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
All right.
It's my turn.
Your turn? Oh, my bad.
Back up.
I got my bad.
Okay, speaking of breaking up and how it's hard to do, apparently it's not hard for people to break up with Activision.
Oh, man. Activision. That's got to hurt.
Well, this is not actually having to do with him. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, as the case between Activision and ex-Infinity Ward leads Jason West and Vince Zampella continues to move forward, new documents have been made public revealing that nearly all of Infinity Ward's top paid staff in 2009 have since left or broken up for West and Zampella's current studio, Respawn Entertainment. A 2009 email chain published by the LA Times again revealed the conversation between Activision employees Mike Griffiths, Steven Aguilar, and Bobby Kotick, and others, noting the salaries and bonuses of the 21 top performing and highest compensated Infinity Ward employees at the time. Outside of West and Zampella, these employees were scheduled to earn between $350,000 and $1.37 million in 2009. And Infinity Ward's projected bonus pool had grown to more than $73 million. Judging from the documents, it seems Activision's executives didn't want to write such hefty paychecks. In the published email chain, Griffith notes, "We are paying way too many people way too much. We need to find a way to put caps on our bonus payouts." Oh, well, it seems Griffith got his wish. As a look at LinkedIn and the Respawn Entertainment website reveals that including West and Zampella, 18 of the 21 developers on Infinity Ward's top paid employees list now work at Respawn. Shortly after Activision fired West and Zampella in 2010, a number of these former employees sued the publisher for not paying their bonuses and royalties, and it's easy to see why tensions became so high between Activision and these developers when you look at the amount of money at stake. West and Zampella, for instance, were projected to earn a base salary of $420,000 in 2009, with bonuses totaling $3.1 million each. In 2010, they were projected to earn bonuses as high as $13 million each. Even the staff below the Infinity Ward's head were set to receive similarly impressive payouts. A lead software engineer, for instance, was on a salary of $145,700 in 2009.
Ouch!
And he was marked for a bonus of $600,000 with an additional $2.5 million in 2010. By 2010, all 21 employees on Infinity Ward's top compensated list were projected to receive a bonus of more than $1 million each. Just last week, according to Gamma Sutra, Activision awarded $42 million on top of the previously reported $22 million to these former employees, but not to West and Zampella, who still seek compensation for their unpaid bonuses. The trial for that case is currently scheduled for May 29, and I hear them singing, "To the left, to the left."
Oh, that's cold.
Oh, God, they were getting paid a lot. Who's cute that used to work at Activision? Do we need to go over to LinkedIn and see if I can find?
Any of y'all got an open lap?
Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
You don't even have to be that cute.
And, yeah. I can not look at your face when I sit in your lap.
That's fine. I got plenty of Walmart bags. Okay.
So how is now? See, here's a question. So you owe these people money. They're suing you. How is this going to affect your relationship with your new girlfriend, Bungie, Activision?
You know, that's a very good question.
I'm just saying.
I tell you, if y'all screw over Bungie, I'm coming after you.
Well,
No. I love my Bungie. So don't you be mean to them.
Ooh, this fight is gonna be delicious.
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of more fights and angry people, Blizzard looking into hacked Diablo 3 account claims.
Just now?
Yeah, I know, right? A number of Diablo 3 players have claimed that they have logged into their accounts and found that they have been hacked. Players claim that their gear, characters, and gold vanished without a trace. Blizzard Entertainment says that it is taking these reports very seriously and is looking to what exactly is going on. Other reports have indicated that this was being caused by some sort of bug.
Historically, the release of a new game, such as World of Warcraft expansion, will result in an increase in reports of individual account compromises, and that's exactly what we're seeing now with Diablo 3. This is coming from community manager Lilira. She said this on the community board. We know how frustrating it can be to become the victim of account theft, and as always, we are dedicated to doing everything we can to help our players keep their Battle.net accounts safe. One thing that many players are finding to be frustrating is that Blizzard's authenticators haven't protected their accounts. Yes, I've had several friends who have lost everything, and they have authenticators. The authenticators are supposed to add an extra layer of security via a phone number or through iPhone and Android apps. The authenticator works by generating a unique code tied to your account that expires within 2 minutes every time a user tries to log in. Blizzard rejects the idea that the authenticator isn't working. They say, we've been taking the situation extremely seriously from the start and have done everything possible to verify how and in what circumstances these compromises are occurring. This is coming from Blizzard community manager Beth Shiok. Despite the claims and theories being made, we have yet to find any situation in which a person's account was not compromised through traditional means of someone else logging into their account through the use of their password. While the authenticator isn't a 100% guarantee of account security, we have yet to investigate a compromise report in which an authenticator was attached beforehand. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If I didn't have personal experience with this, I might believe you. But a friend of mine and I, we are playing. He logs out. All of a sudden, the tune logs back in and takes off. Everything was gone within just a couple of minutes. Everything. And we were in, his whole account was just wiped. The password changed and everything. He had an authenticator. I know he does because I've seen it. And it was gone. Everything was gone. And no, I've never known this person to share their password with anybody. So, Blizzard, liar, liar, pants on fire. Anyways, they say, if you had your account hacked, IGN has some advice to help you deal with the situation. And you can go find that over on their forums, but I'm not going to give you that link. And, my advice, don't share your password. Always. See, I was talking to somebody else the other day who plays video games. And like, well, I don't surf the net, so I don't need an antivirus protection program. Yes, you do. And you should always, anyways, every couple of days at least, scan your computer for malware. I don't care. You can get it through links in the game. You can get it from just opening up your email, anything that you do. So, yes. Oh, all right, anyways, that's going to be a whole nother rant I'm going to have to write about because some of you people are being incredibly stupid. I love you, but y'all are being stupid.
Blizzard, okay, well, Xbox Betty, and y'all give her a yell out, was saying, you know, she was listening to us about the Diablo 3 accounts being hacked. This is not just a Diablo 3. They've been hacked for a while, and we've talked about that before. We've asked them, they will not respond. So that you know, because
they won't respond because we think all of Battle.net was hacked.
Yeah, and because any of you who ever had a WoW account or any Battle.net, and I've had a Battle.net account since God, ages before I think even World of Warcraft came out, but I started getting emails. Oh, your World of Warcraft account has been compromised. Please do this. How did you get my name?
Exactly. A database was tapped.
Yeah, and I say this because before I even had Gamenatrix, I was playing on Battle.net. So you found my name. This is coming to an email that is not connected to Gamenatrix, and they're coming to Gamenatrix as well, you know, because we had press accounts, I think, a while ago with them for something. But I'm getting all these emails, and there's no way that somebody would just pick up and find my name at random because I didn't actually, you know, there was no connection at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense whatsoever. Other than they must have been hacked. And they don't want to say anything about it, especially after what happened with PlayStation. Oh, well, we got hacked too. But you should have. Good thing I don't have any new credit card information. It is like 4 addresses ago. But, yeah, they've been hacked. This is the first time they decided to admit it because they think, oh, it might not be so bad. But they are lying over at Blizzard. You're lying. The fact that you will not respond.
Seriously, we've called them out. And I've emailed them. Nobody will respond.
Yeah. We emailed them. Same with when we asked Nintendo about pornography on the 3DS. Remember when it first came out? And they said, we don't respond to that because we don't think it'll happen. And I'll be damned, it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we did 2 stories about that. So, yeah, sometimes we do a little investigative journalism. We ask some questions, and they don't answer.
No, because they do not like what we're asking, because then they have to admit to a fault.
We do ask some rather crazy questions. Be like, what color shoes did she have on in that ad?
They be like, need to know.
Is it be my turn again?
Yes, it be your turn.
Okay, I got 7 minutes. Okay, so Marvel Heroes online game, so they will let you fight evil for free. Gazillion Entertainment has revealed more details for its upcoming free-to-play MMO, Marvel Heroes. Drawing upon the 8,000-plus heroes and villains in the Marvel Universe, Marvel Heroes allows you to become your favorite Marvel superhero with a popular from the popular Iron Man, Thor, Storm, Black Widow, to the lesser-known Squirrel Girl and Cable. And what does he mean, the lesser-known Cable? I know who Cable is. I'm sorry. I have a little bit comic fangirl in me, just a little bit. The official press release that they sent out said this. Cable? Yes. You don't know who Cable? Go look up Cable Girl Hot. Okay, so you too may now express your long-denied admiration of Squirrel Girl and her creepy prehensile tail in front of the entire internet. Other playable characters will include Spider-Man and, yes, Wolverine, hopefully not with the yellow spandex. The president of Gazillion, David Brevik, co-founder, who co-created the Diablo series and promises Diablo-style gameplay and mechanics that will be incorporated into the superhero MMO. The game will include a social area modeled after such Marvel landmarks as Midtown Manhattan and the Xavier Institute for Higher Learning, in which players can talk to fellow superheroes, receive missions, and buy items from legendary Marvel characters. Heroes will feature a script by Brian Michael Bendis. He wrote the scripts for Ultimate Spider-Man and Secret War, and the missions will draw from the famous Marvel story arcs and events. You can check out more information on this at their website, gazillion.com. I got to tell you, I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed?
I don't want to be the Marvel superheroes necessarily. I like to model my characters after them, especially after what happened, you know, when they went crazy on City of Heroes. You can't use our character's likeness in the game. No, I'm not impressed. And then I don't need for y'all to do something else.
What do you want them to do?
Let you make your own character. I'm still waiting for City of Heroes to do this, where they give you a character and you can put together any character you want. If I want to be invincible and on fire and shoot lightning from my eyes, then I should be able to do that or have psychic abilities. But we're still in a game that has classes set up, which is why we are looking so forward to Secret World and Salem, because those are supposed to be eliminated. You're supposed to be able to do whatever you want. So let's hope they keep that. I'm still following you guys over there at MM Society. I'm still going to follow you just so we see what you're doing, but I'm not so impressed so far. You're going to have to do a little better. Storm is one of my favorite comic book characters, by the way.
A friend of mine is totally into it, and she went and saw the Avengers last night, yeah.
Oh, the Avengers was hot.
Yeah, she was trying to tell me about the different comic book people that were in it, and I was like, my geekiness does not go that far.
Okay, there's a fight going on that I missed something.
Who's fighting?
On Twitter, I don't know. do you know what happened? Oh, hell no. I'm sorry. Click on the link that Jay put in. That is wrong. Oh, that's it. Ah, Horace, I got to agree with you. I'm signing off for the day.
Well, hold on. What did I do on air?
Go and look at the link that Jay put up. Do you see the girl?
There's a link?
Yes.
He didn't send it to me. Well, I don't see this.
Oh, you don't see? Wait a minute.
Jay, come on. You're sending this to everybody else but me?
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, we are so over, Jay.
I'm going to copy it to you in why did I open it in? Let me paste this to Ginger, because we got to hear Ginger do it. We're about to go off the show, but I want to hear her say it.
Oh, my God.
You see that? You see it?
That hair, that Oreo hair?
Yes.
Oh my God. Why do y'all? No. Why would you do this?
This is too much Oreo love, girl. Stay away from the double stuff. No. 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 No.
No kidding. Is that supposed to be cute or hot? Does she think that's cute?
It's interesting. It's not. It's not for everyday wear, honey. That's for when you're going out somewhere, like in LA, and you're gonna put on a dress and you're gonna go red carpet and you're gonna just do something crazy to get attention. But this is not.
Yeah, I'm sincerely hoping that you are getting paid for walking around with Oreo on the side of your head.
I'd be scared. Anyway,
By the way, Jay, you in the top hat? That's kind of hot.
Yeah, he does look kind of hot.
How you doing, Jay?
How you doing? Okay, it's time for us to go. You guys know where to find us. GamingAtrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com.
Google Plus.
Yes. Second Life, everywhere in between. We'll see you guys bright and early.
With that song, I was about to say, what is my computer doing? Later, boys and girls.